All right, everybody. Hey, how you doing? And happy Juneteenth. Welcome to the Juneteenth Black Wellness Panel brought to you by The Numbers. My name is Britton Jarrett Jackson, and I am the music director for The Numbers. And I am happy and blessed and appreciative to be able to be a part of this panel with two amazing individuals who soar in the community, who share such a love and light and a joy with the community. Trainer Tyra and Aaron Robinson, thank you for joining. Great to see you.
Great to see you, boo. Thanks for having
us. Of course. So I'm just gonna start by asking you to just give a brief summary of who you are and what you do, and any other things that you would like to say. And we can start with you, Tyra.
Hi, I'm Tyra. My pronouns are she, her, hers. I am a New Orleans native that is a transplant here in beautiful Portland. I love it. Here to stay, bought a house, all that. Oh. Hey.
Okay.
In a historically Black neighborhood. Hey.
I feel like that's a whole other like conversation we need to have on how as a person of color to get housing in this place. But that's for another time.
That's another one. Put a pin in it. Put a pin in it. I am a personal trainer, certified. You know how it goes, Aaron. You know you got to put that in there because we paid for this. certified Group X instructor, also a credentialed nutrition coach. I teach pretty much everything. I got into this business because I didn't see us in this business. And initially it was being my cheapy self, not wanting to pay for gym membership. And then it completely morphed into being a whole business. My focus is on middle-aged Black women, femmes, and non-binary. I want to be as accessible to all underestimated communities as possible. So that is where my business is. Of course, you know, when you cater to the most underestimated, everybody comes in the wake. So that's what I do. You probably see me around shaking my middle-aged behind around town, but really.
Listen, you have an energy that is like unmatched. Like I remember when I first met you and you just came into the scene. I have like a lot of like presence too. So I mean, for it to be like boom, boom, and for it to gel, I loved it. But I was like, you got it. You got this, sis. You are. Thank you for being here. Thank you for sharing that. Thank you for just informing us all about what it is that you do. And thank you for bringing that to the community. Aaron, tell us a little bit about you.
Okay, well, first off, thank you for having me here. And it's a pleasure meeting you, Britton, and Tyra. And can I get some of those plants? Because I just moved into this spot and I don't have anything yet. So I need some plants or some shelves or something, a couch.
I am happy to. Any of my cutlings, you're more than welcome to have. I will definitely share those with you.
Thank you. So my name is Aaron Robinson. I'm originally from San Diego, California. I've been in Portland for 5 years now, and I'm a multi-creative. I've grew up being an artist, a painter, some video here and there. And I came to Portland with the idea of like wanting to work at like Adidas and Nike. And like, I kind of like set that as like my North Star. And over the years, like trying to achieve access into these big companies, I found photography. I found my hidden talent of networking and connecting with people and creating space for people. And I shifted my sights into like the creative agency space. Like, how do I create messaging that empowers people? That's not like, hey, let me take something from you. I'm more of the mind with my messaging. How can I give and serve for people? In 2017, I lost my mother to breast cancer, and that was the one thing that kind of like shook up my whole world. And from that point, I had to take a serious inquiry into my life. I was like, hey, like, why are you not happy? Why are you still running after these things that don't serve you, trying to get access into these rooms that don't really want you there. And why are you trying so damn hard for this acceptance? So I had to do like a lot of like soul searching and self-reflection, which landed me on meditation. And as my meditation grew, having consistency, because it was the first time I was consistent with something for a prolonged period of time, and experiencing how I changed as a person, how I was kinder to myself, how I was able to kind of be more fearless in sharing my gifts and putting myself out there, I decided to share my practice on Instagram. And that kind of slowly snowballed into, I guess, like where I'm at now, where I just started my business and I do guided meditations with one-on-one coaching with people just to develop their personal practice. And then I also do 5-day meditations with corporate clients, which I'm super, super excited about, because it's like the first time where I actually like planted my flag and I was like, and I did it. And I'm like, oh, I could do this. All the places that wouldn't hire me because my resume looks like garbage. Now I send them invoices and they pay me
directly. Yes.
Okay.
I'm like, flipped it. I'm like, all right.
Get the bag. That's right. That's right.
My bag portfolio is diversified and I want to keep it that way.
Yo, I love that. Thank you. Thank you so much for sharing, like it, being vulnerable and sharing that in that space. I think there's something to be said about just being, what are your pronouns? Just because he, him. Okay. As a Black male, I feel like those conversations need to be had and that kind of vulnerability needs to be expressed and shown. And it's just something to be said about moving forward. I think one of the biggest things that is important about moving forward is being able to adapt, being able to adjust, and even in many cases, reinvent yourself and just know that that's how the cycle of life goes. You continue to roll with what you receive and then flip that into a benefit for you. And hopefully you come out, you know, you come out on top and you are revived by it. So thank you for sharing that.
Of course.
I love that. I love that. I want to dive. Are y'all cool if we dive into some questions?
Do it.
Okay. 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 So I want to start with this. What does wellness and self-care mean to you? Tyra.
All right. it means surviving.
Hmm.
Wellness is not a luxury, although in this country it has been billed as such. And those that need it the most are priced out the most. So wellness and self-care, self-love is what is going to keep us Black folks together. It's going to keep us calm so we can live, not just to survive, but also to thrive. And it also means community. We don't have to do these things alone. In fact, it doesn't cost anything to have these things if you have a place to plug into or if you make that place if it's not available. So to me, without it, I wouldn't be here. And that is what they want us to do. And so I got to win and I have to be my ancestors' greatest dream. And I am living my greatest and best life because I put my health first.
Ashe, come on now. I love that. You know, I really want to speak on something really quickly. During the pandemic, you reached out to me and you were instrumental in helping me stay afloat, basically. And so you messaged me. You remember you messaged me. And you asked me what I needed and you sent me a resource. And I just appreciated that. And I never got a chance. I ever got the chance to really thank you, like in person or clearly here we are, then I would do it. So thank you much, because that's that community part, mm-hmm. right? You know, you reached out to not just me, but so many. And you helped us. So bless you. And I thank you. I thank you from the bottom of my heart, because that helped me a great deal.
Thank you, baby. Thank you so much. You know, I'm everybody's Black auntie, you know. And so that's what I do. That is why I'm here. That is my purpose. Yeah. And I'm living it.
I love it.
You know, it didn't cost nothing to reach out to you. It doesn't cost anything to reach out to each other. It doesn't cost anything to take a walk around a park. I do that with people. I'm like, hey, come take a walk. this is what we're doing. We're not going on some five-star trip. We don't need a spa date. We don't need these things that have been billed to us in this $72 billion industry that tells us what is wellness. Instead, if we just connect with each other and just recharge each other, that's really all we need.
Ooh, y'all sent the chills on my spine already. Eric, can I ask you that same question?
What is wellness? I think Tyra, you said it at the very end, was making yourself a priority, which a lot of us, we're not really used to that. Like this idea of being selfish, and it's like, oh, I can't be selfish. And if I'm not being selfish with my energy and my time and my mind and my health, then I'm not doing a service to myself or anybody around me in creating boundaries and prioritizing. Yeah, prioritizing self is like the first step in validating and knowing that it's okay to say like, no, I don't want to go to this thing. And I don't have to make this person feel better about me not going to this thing. And once I began to do that, and I still come across those emotions of like guilt, and it's just like, no, like, you know that you're acting in your best interest. You're not going to feel bad about acting in your first interest. And I think the practices, making time for the practices, is that next part. But I think first is like combating that learned behavior of putting other people and thinking that you're not deserving of the time that you set aside for yourself. So yeah, I think is the self-advocacy is the beginning of wellness.
I love that. y'all are really giving yeah, good energy.
I accidentally left some water boiling, so I'm gonna go get
go do your thing. Can you still hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So I find that interesting what you said, Aaron, because I feel like in this society, we are taught that being selfish is a bad thing. And something I'm always working through or working with people or discussing is the difference between, you know, being aware of your needs and prioritizing that, or some version of self, a version of selfish, versus being self-centered. Mm-hmm. And so those are one of the things that I've just been really working through myself through therapy, because therapy's okay, y'all. Therapy's okay. Right. It's more than okay. It is necessary and vital. Yeah. We as people of color have so many traumas, so much trauma in our DNA. Okay. It's literally passed down through our chromosomes. And I don't think a lot of people understand that. And one of the things that I'm always trying to actively tell other people who aren't as in the wellness mindset yet is that, like, this isn't a luxury. This isn't a day. It can be a great day if you get a spa day, but a massage is something you should probably get biweekly. It will take away a lot of it'll take away a lot of
all right, money bags.
People need touch. And then that's what I love about Portland too, is there's so many people who are on sliding scales. There's so many people just need to know where to go.
True. That's
they
true.
But I think it's okay to dive into that idea of understanding that touch is healing, mm-hmm. and it doesn't have to be associated with anything other than that. Of sure. course, your levels of comfort are important, but I think we also, as people of color, have a inherent like trust issue with nearly damn everybody. You know what I'm saying? And so with that in mind, I would like to ask you, Aaron, and then Tyra, how do you respond to people of color who feel or believe wellness isn't for them, and that it's only something that white people do? Because that is what I hear. How I hear it phrased. You know, that's not for us. That's for rich people. That's for white people.
Yeah, I respond with just understanding. It's just like, I understand completely. And if there's a way within the confines of the conversation, or like the container of the conversation, like, is there a moment where I can lead in that sense? Cause I think that's part of why I'm here, is to lead in that sense and be the first person to be vulnerable. Like, I remember I did like a camping excursion with my friend Rashad, local genius. He has a company called Camp Yoshi, which is predicated on bringing people of color into nature. And I go camping a lot just on my own. And like with a bunch of grown men of color, Black men who have never really gone camping, and just like we're next to a river, and it's just like I'll run straight into it, or like around the campfire, like saying kind of like setting the stage of like, hey, this is where we all kind of come together and share what we're grateful for, maybe something that we've been holding on our heart. So in any conversation where I guess like the stigma of wellness is it's just for white people, it's like we got way more stuff to unpack than most people. And it's like if I can show somebody where the door is, I'm not going to push anybody through the door, but I feel confident in walking through it first.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you for that. Tyra, what are your thoughts?
To piggyback on what Aaron was saying, most of the time it's just folks don't know what is considered wellness or self-care. They don't have anything tangible to their situation that they can say, oh, that's what I can do. I have a virtual program that I've been running for about 5 years with my business. Today is my business anniversary. 8 years. Green of Tyra LLC, y'all.
All right.
Right. But in that, I build in with women and femmes and non-binary folks to understand that it does not have to be huge to be meaningful. Mm-hmm. And sometimes if you're a mom, or you're working multiple jobs, or you are on public transportation, that can eat away from that time. So we start with 5 minutes, 5 minutes a day. And it could be locking yourself in your bathroom and having an extra 5 minutes in the bathroom away from the children or from the roommates or whomever, and then gradually building on that. We're trying to build a new habit. We're trying to do behavior modification. And so if it's something that someone can handle, then it can grow. Versus trying to say it is this, it is that, and it is this long, it's this frequency, then it's not for us. We have to also realize that some of our ancient practices were already wellness and self.
Yes.
But instead they've been taken away from us and packaged and sold with a membership. Oof. So if we can go back to how our people did, how they did take a walk, how they did sit, how they didn't have a screen, how they weren't on anything. You know, the babies go to bed a little bit early and then you get to sit and have your jam on, and you know, that is wellness. That is self-care. Yeah. I also teach DEI and fitness and wellness for organizations like Port of Portland, through PSU, things like that. And just saying that to people blows their mind. And I'm like, we forget when we're in the biz, we forget what it's like on the outside. And tangible, doable, yeah. whatever you can maintain is the best version of wellness, exercise, self-care for you. That's the best one.
Absolutely. Yeah, it comes in many different forms. It doesn't have to be necessarily associated with one particular path. Like the pandemic, one of the things that I picked up was this. I've had these since last March, a lot of them since last March. And so I didn't even know I had the ability to take care of a plant.
Right.
So that for me, making that a part of my daily morning routine has been super helpful. This morning was fertilizing day. You know, I pruned my Boston fern. You know, it's still alive, and they say Boston ferns go quick, you know. And so, you know, that's just been one of the things that like things like that, the sitting quietly, just watching, relaxing in your bed and watching, I don't know, Amanda Seals videos or something like that, you know, you know, those things could all be considered that. Or just sitting and finding my therapist offers a lot. She says, just three things you're grateful for daily. Mm-hmm. That's it. Stop there. You don't have to do any more. But brings me to a question that just came up talking about the pandemic. With your own path, with your own journey, with the information that you have and that you share, how did your gifts help you during the pandemic? And did you encounter other people who, like, during the pandemic that you shared your gifts with that it helped them, or that revealed to you something new? And we can start with you, Aaron.
Wait, I'm trying to, like, grasp the question. Like, how did my gifts...
just like what you do, like, with, like, let's say meditation. How did meditation in particular help you through the pandemic in any kind of way? Or did you encounter any problems or any self-reflecting or any things arise for you during the pandemic that meditation or anything else helped you with?
Yeah, I think the pandemic was, like, the most validating thing that I could have ever asked for. Like, it was just, like... It felt like I was, like, called to action. Like, they were just, like, knocking on the door. It's like, the world needs you now to share, like, your practice and to teach people how to meditate, because they're all spending time alone right now. So, like, the circumstance created, like, the perfect container to be like, oh, like, I was on the right path before the pandemic, which was, like, everybody distracted and nobody paying attention or anything. But now it's like, when it's like, okay, now we have to go inwards, but nobody has the tools to go inwards. Mm-hmm. Like, let me share, like, granted, I'm not, like, this giant social media star who's able to, like, reach all of these people. And then it's like, oh, there's a massive movement, but there's nothing about my message that is undeserving of, like, that widespread. So it's kind of like even though it's not to that point yet, it's like just doing the necessary things day to day. As far as keeping myself accountable to my own practice and doing my own work, because I'm a human, I'm still processing mm-hmm. like relational traumas, like parental traumas and all that kind of stuff. But I think as everybody's going through this psycho, like somatic kind of response from the conditions of this environment that we're in right now, I'm going through it as well. In having a place to voice that and to share that, like, hey, like, there's other ways to engage with these conditions. And I think once people see that there's another way to engage with something that may be called anxiety or fear or anger or whatever, it's like we can learn how to meet these triggers and these situations from a different perspective. And I think if we can allow people to see that there are other options, that's probably, like, the best entry point for a consistent practice or to create an amount of change. I don't know if I answered the question or not.
I think that's awesome. And I think that actually inspires me to add something to that, which is one of the things that I've always felt that, so I teach yoga, I'm a massage therapist, I'm a dance instructor, all of these things. I was a professional dancer, and it was through all of those art forms that I really got in tune with my own body. I literally can feel change in my body. And if I'm triggered or if I experience something harmful, like I get like a burning sensation in my chest, it's something I really have taken note of. And I think it's one of the most important things that people, especially people of color, can do, is to really try to find these wellness opportunities to really do more investigating, to do research and education on yourself, because I see so much disconnect from the body, you know. And one of those things I've always wanted to do is just steer as clear away from medication as possible, from Western medication. I'm all for it. I'm like, yes, let's have doctors. But like, if I can stay off of it, I think it's worth it to invest in the things that the earth provides for us to heal ourselves, because we are given those. The earth does provide it. Mm-hmm. We just have to make sure we're actively seeking that out.
Yeah, it's a lot of guess and check work too.
Trial and error.
like for the longest time, just being a kid, just like having intuitions about things, but then nobody outside of me was validating it. So then I would just doubt that. So like just learning how to be like, oh, I, like you're saying, like you get the feeling in your chest, and it's like, oh, but your body's so intelligent. It's like, you're like, your body's more intelligent than your brain. Like it gives you like the sign, like whenever I like am like trying to fill out like an application for a job that I don't really want, because I feel like I for some reason need to go this other route and not go pro Aaron entrepreneurial like world traveler route, when I start limiting myself and try to like encapsulate my entire experience on a resume, Like, I feel this tension in my neck and my shoulders, just like, oh, you know, this isn't you. And I'm just like, I need to break out of this thing. And with it, like, I need to go on a run or something, but get me out of this self-limiting place that I come back to whenever I feel like the fight or flight, or just like feeling like my needs aren't going to get met. So everybody has their own way of dealing with the circumstances. And I think it's for us to get like really, really quiet and pay attention to the signs, because our body is just telling us like red flag, like this person across from you that you thought was like trying to lead you down the right way, but you're like, oh, something's off about this relationship. Like your body's telling you, like, get up out of there.
Get out of flight. Trust it. Trust your gut. Absolutely. Yeah. Tara, did the pandemic, was there anything within your knowledge and your experience that helped you through the pandemic?
Y'all are so sweet. I was a hot beep mess. Okay. I'm naturally an introvert. I know no one believes that, but I was fine for like 3 months. And then I developed something called skin hunger. And that's when your skin actually misses the tactile sensation of being touched. It's like what happens to babies if they're not held and they die. You actually can develop that at any point. I was outside hugging dogs. Like people walking their dogs, I was out there hugging, like, can I pet your dog? Can I hug your dog? Can I kiss your dog? That's what I was doing. I was on the Corona coaster, because I'm single, I don't have kids, I'm sheltered alone, and I didn't realize how important having human connection was until it was no longer optional. The blessing was that I was finishing a yoga certification through Black Yoga Magazine, which is great to have someone that looks like me actually being the one teaching me. That's the whole reason why I even got into yoga. My students said, we want to see ourselves. We like you. Go learn yoga. And I was not a yoga person. So it was a whole thing. And then I ended up getting a second yoga cert. So to have the 500 hour, and I instantly started teaching colonizer free yoga. And that was the theme of my yoga. So we started with, I always had a theme, either a yama or a niyama, or Questlove one time was like, it was an excerpt from Questlove, and it was all bodies. And we had everybody assisted, seated, standing in the bed, on the couch. It didn't matter. And it was, what helped me was to go back to what I'm good at, and that's building community.
Bravisi. Oh, y'all are this trails right into my next question. Thank y'all so much for being as open as you are. Just in general, so one of the things, as I said, as a massage therapist, yoga instructor, dancing, and the specialties that you all share, it's constant output. Mm-hmm. And I actually had to take a step back from massage therapy, because not only was I physically giving all of my energy to numbers of people a day, but then I was taking in I had energetic boundaries up to a certain point, but you sometimes encounter people who have just energy that just breaks those walls down, and then you leave depleted, that I would get to a point where like I would get home and it's like, there's nothing else I want to do. I don't want to do anything else. Mm-hmm. So I had to take that make that decision for myself to say, hey, only family and friends. I can't just do random folks anymore. So with all of that said, as much as we output, I think it's just as important to know how to fill our cup back up and replenish ourselves. What do you all do to replenish yourselves? And we can start with you, Tyra.
One thing I do pretty much every day is I take a 2-mile walk. And that's a great way for me to allow those hormones to come back down, you know, cortisol being under stress and things like that interfere with so much of your life, your brain, how you feel, how you sleep, things like that. So one thing I do is the daily 2-miler. It doesn't have to be fast. Some days it is. But the other thing is limiting those folks that are allowed to come that close to me. Mm. You know, there's three types of people: takers, matchers, and givers. Mm. No more takers, matchers on occasion, but givers, because I'm a giver. Mm. And being able to trust my dopeness and to believe what everyone else sees changed me completely during this pandemic, knowing that I am not your average person. And I have the right to prescribe the admission to being close to me has really made a huge change in my life. I'm still for the community. I'm still for the people, but you can't pour from an empty cup. So being able to stay calm, finding time to meditate, finding time to just touch my toes, make sure I can still do it, is huge. And not letting people in there that are designed to drain. People are attracted to us because we are a light. And we have to give ourselves credit for that. But everything that attracted to the light ain't something you want to keep. If you're from the South, you know what about them bug zappers, and they come right to the light. And we don't need that. I learned a valuable lesson. I had a cancer scare in the middle of this pandemic. And when I said the words, "I don't have it to give because I need to stay calm," those people fell off anyway. So take care of you.
Yeah.
It's okay to say no, like Aaron said, or on the onset. And it is okay to chill, sit down. Like, you don't have to be ripping and running. Like, make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and sit down. Like, you know, it's things like that. That is what has helped me. They seem small, but when you put them together, it's a beautiful mosaic.
Wow. Okay. Aaron, what are your thoughts? How do you feel? Send you that same question. How do you replenish yourself?
I think, like, grateful. I'm super grateful that, like, this journey has allowed me to prioritize, like, the self-care. So I have, like, my modalities in which that I can kind of slide back to, and it's not like I get lost from it. Sometimes I do, but, like, for the most part, it's, like, right here in front of me, as far as just, like, having, like, my tea, like, in the kitchen, and, like, all of, like, my mushroom powders, and just, like, turmeric and my cacao, and, like, if I could just boil some water, like, that's like initiating a reset, like, right there. And if I do that, like, multiple times throughout the day, like, there's not a lot of time in between that. If I start my day and end my day with, like, a tea and, like, a reset, then I'm not away from it, like, long enough to actually need it. But yeah, there are those times where I feel like I am pushing out so much energy, but I think just always being aware of, like, what my intention is and what was the intention from the get-go, and how close am I to that source, or, like, that overarching, like, why are you doing these things? Mm-hmm. And just always being referring back to what started. But a way that I kind of disconnect is whenever I go out, like, camping and spend time in nature, sometimes with friends, sometimes alone. Whenever I get out into, like, the lake, I go to Timothy Lake, but just, like, disconnect off the phone and just, like, walk around the forest and just be present in those moments are ones that fill me up. Like, traveling is something that really, like, adds, like, new energy to me, and that list is growing. It's like asking yourself questions as to, like, oh, what are the things that are going to bring me more happiness or calmness or homeostasis along this mm-hmm. journey? Because it's not like a linear path. Like, there's so many different, like, ebbs and flows and twists and turns. And as we grow and learn, it's like there's going to be different things that bring us into alignment. And we have to kind of, like, try different things out.
Yeah.
Like, I would love to get massages bi-weekly like you, but like, that's something that I'm like, all right, like, these are the things I require, like, moving forward, like, big life, like, mapping. It's like massage at least twice a month, like a sauna. Like, I have to have, like, a hot sauna in wherever I'm living at, like, whatever point. Like, I got to have a sauna because I want to be able to do sauna every single day. because it like decreases the chances of cancer, like by some crazy number, like 70% if you do sauna every day. So I have in mind with the things and with the tools that I do have, I implement those as often as I can.
You know, I love that. Something you said that really stuck to me, and it's something that I'm still working through today, is taking those hikes or going to forests. I think as a, I'll just do it. I'm the person that like, I am so afraid of this, but I'm just going to do it. Have you ever felt unsafe kind of going in some of the hikes around Oregon, you know, especially that some areas just don't feel like, sometimes I get the feeling that like, you know, if I turn the wrong corner, you know, I'm snap away from meeting some folks who don't want me here. And I've actually seen some articles that talks about the people who live in Oregon, Black people, not feeling safe doing things like hiking or by themselves or going camping. Is that something you were, either of you were faced with? But I'll start with you with that question, Aaron. I'm just curious.
I've had those kind of like moments of just like pulling up into like a campsite, and there's like people like shooting guns with like their with their RV and stuff, because I'm looking for a camping spot, the one that I usually go to. But then it's just like I turn around. But I personally, like, I know that's a huge thing, and it's just like I don't have any firearms or anything, and it's maybe it's just like me being like naive or whatever in a sense. But like for me, just getting out and just getting to where I need to go, because I have all my things on me. I know that there are like a lot of walls for people of color to just get into nature and like the perception, but then also the safety component of it. But I don't know, I'm similar to you. It's just like if there's some type of anxiety or block for me, it's just like I feel like my life gets better and expands when I push through it and ask myself, where is this fear coming from? Is it like a real fear, or is it something that I'm kind of like padding on top of just because I'm fearful of this entire concept of like the great outdoors, or there's bears and mountain lions and all that kind of stuff. So I don't know, I kind of just go for it, and then more like 99.9% of the time I'm happy with the decision I made to go out there. Even like, I know like it's different for women and non-binary and like to be out in the woods, but like I'll go out by myself and I'll just do my thing.
I know that's right. I'll definitely, if I go by myself, my dog is coming with me at least. Yeah.
I used to go with I just lost my dog last month, and I'm just, it's my baby's gone. And we used to go like all the time. So I would just go with him and we would just kick it.
Oh, okay. Well, God bless.
Yeah.
Sending that baby some love. Absolutely. Son, absolutely. Did you want to add anything to that, Tyra?
Well, I mean, that's part of it. Like I'm a Black woman, me getting up and going out in the woods. I mean, I even have a hard time doing 2 miles in my neighborhood without somebody either lurking, or just the other day, somebody was following me through the neighborhood, and I had to use, you know, my, you know, shake the tail, you know, resources and pop into a store and let somebody know what's happening. I know that other femmes and especially Black queer people do not feel comfortable going to these remote areas and rural. We know that we stand out as it is, and then the more marginalized we are, not because of us, but because of them, then the more we become a target. There are some groups. There's Black People Hike on Facebook. There's also, I think it's Black something something on Meetup. There is on the Meetup to get Black people out in the outdoors. I learned to fish last year through a Black and Brown fishing group.
Okay.
And so I went out with them. I would not have felt comfortable doing it by myself. I also learned to shoot a gun last year because of those same people. I think it becomes more of, safety becomes more of an issue the more underestimated that you are in this area. We got to be real.
Yeah.
But it, like you said, it doesn't mean it's a no. It might just be another way. But I would say, let's get out there. But take a friend, take five friends, you know, turn it into a thing. I have never camped. I'm from the South. Southerners do not camp.
Hey, I'm from the South too.
I'm Gen X. I am Gen X and I own memory foam. So I'm like,
hello.
Bars.
Let's talk about some glamping.
Yeah, yeah.
But don't start me out on the ground with a rock in my back. No.
I hear you. Okay, listen, real talk. I did learn how to turn my Prius into a full camper. So, you know, same. You know, I mean, yeah, the Prius is massive. Like, people live in them things. So I just watched the videos and was like, I'm doing that too. And I'm going to just drive along where I need to go. And then I'm not going to put no tent up either. I ain't fitting to put no tent up either. No, that's the real truth. No. I'm not mad at tent people who construct tents. I support you.
Love you. It's great.
Appreciate the support.
love you, boo. I'm curious to know, on your journeys with the work that you do, has there ever been a moment that was one of the most fulfilling experiences that you had, or was made you feel the like complete, like what you do is your calling? Is there a moment that was like that, and would you mind sharing? We can start with you, Aaron.
I've had those moments fairly recently, like this last month doing like my first like corporate sessions in kind of architecting a beginner's guide to meditation and creating a 5-day program with the pillars that I decided, like I created like a program of hour-long sessions to empower people to construct their own meditation practice from scratch and learning how to embrace all the things that make you unique in creating your practices. That, like, I tell people all the time, it's like, yo, you don't have to like be this yogi in the mountains. It's like, I listen to Migos and Travis Scott just like, yep, like anybody else, and I meditate every single day. You don't have to let go of that and be something else. Culture 3 is amazing, by the way, if anybody.
Oh my god.
I'm like,
the newest one? The newest one?
Yeah, they just dropped an album.
Yeah, yeah, like, yeah. Oh, it's good.
But yeah, it's really good. Really
okay.
Good. But it's like, you don't have to let go of those things and trying to empower people to like embrace. If you're like a Green Bay Packers fan, you can wear a cheese head on your head and sit in meditation every morning. If
yes,
whatever you like floats your boat. So like having clients that are companies that I at one time pedestalized, and I was like, oh my God, will you let me please work for you guys? And like, I'll be the best worker and da 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 da. And then like going back inwards and doing my own work and then coming out with something that is really meaningful and creating, like I directed my own commercial for it and it's freaking lit. Like, okay. I did all the things that I wanted to do within those companies, plus adding a whole lot more value and getting paid what I was worth for that back to back, and seeing the low impact that it was, and just having full creative control and finally realizing that it's like, oh, it doesn't have to be that difficult. Like this thing that I thought I had to like basically like be at a loss energetically and sacrifice so much, it was really like right here on my plate. It just took me to believe in it, and seeing that come together last month was amazing. And then just recently, I was in Mexico with my brother, and he had left in the morning, and I was just doing street photography, walking around the neighborhoods, and I ended up like walking up this mountain where like there was a big cross overlooking the city, and I had my podcast equipment with me. And I recorded a podcast just detailing like my trip, but then also going in on how I spoke to my father for the first time in like a number of years. And that I finally like didn't have expectations for him. And I was able to forgive his absence spiritually, emotionally as a father. But like I had this, like I recorded a podcast on top of a mountain in Oaxaca, in my very first episode, I was talking about how I wanted to be anywhere in the world and be able to record something that was meaningful and to share it with people. So I did, like, two of those things were like really high on my list of things that require, that are aligned with my soul's purpose, but don't ask me to step outside of myself and do it for somebody else. So I did it all for myself, and I know I'm adding the most value to other people's lives. And that, those two things, I'm like, thank you.
That's awesome. I was wondering where that was when I stalked. I stalked the Insta and I saw you recording. I didn't get to stay for too long because I was zipping and doing different things, but I was wondering, like, where in the world you were. Okay, so you were in Oaxaca. Mm-hmm. Okay, that is dope, man. Like, I'm gonna have to go back and watch that again. Tara, I want to ask you the same question. Did you have this moment of fulfillment? Have you had, or do you continue, you know, continue to have them? Or
it's continuous. You know, whenever I think I'm done, the universe reminds me that no, this is what you're supposed to do. I mean, I didn't get into the industry until my late 30s. So now I'm in my mid 40s and people see me and they say, you changed my life, you know, or I mentor children that are getting bullied in school and literally change their life and help them to see that they are enough. Okay. And what they can do. And then they end up either getting in the business or having that sense to lift up their heads. You know, when you can touch people and change their everyday life, people in larger bodies that learn that they are enough and that they can learn to get up out of the bed. And that is the goal. Not the skinny jeans, not the thigh gap, not any of that stuff. The goal is to live a fulfilled, meaningful life. And if I can have any hand in that, in someone's journey, that is what keeps me here. This wasn't something I chose. It chose me. And just being able to even... It chokes me up sometimes because I don't see myself as that person, but I'm working on it. I'm working on seeing me how others do and to really listen and to really take that message and know that I do change lives. And I hope to continue. I hope to be the old biddy and the community teaching water aerobics in the bikini and all the other people clenching and holding on to their partners. That's what I'm going to do. And I'm going to continue changing lives.
Okay. I love it. A few more questions and then we got rapid fire. Thank you both for sharing that. Tell us something you love that doesn't have to do with your specialty, Tyra.
Drinking.
Okay. What's your drink of choice?
Well, right now, you know, it's Black owned, Uncle Nearest. Got some 1856, 1884, and I just got gifted some 1820.
Okay.
Which is a specialty barrel that they don't really sell too much, so.
Oh, okay, so we exclusive out in here.
That's what happens when you're middle-aged. Your liquor get better.
I know that's right. Erin, what's something that you love that doesn't have to do with your specialty?
Well, that's a tough question because everything I do love, like I try to make it into, like I just make it my business now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like if friends make clothes, I'm like, oh, I'm going to make clothes too. I do love like fashion, like even though it's like we're in like the shoe capital, but I don't give a damn about shoes.
Say it.
It's like style, clothes, food. Like I absolutely love food. I'm trying to think of like something like random, like what do I love? Like, I don't know. I just kind of make everything my thing.
Okay. I dig that. I love that. Jack of all trades. Let's do it. Let's do everything. Like everything. I tell people all the time, I'm like, everything. You got one life to live. Do what you want. As long as you ain't causing no harm to yourself or to nobody else or ruining nobody else's day. Like Miss Tabitha Brown says, like live your life fully as you can. You know what I mean? Same thing. No, avoid the limiters. last, like, sort of serious question. Why is healing important for the Black community? Anybody can start.
Because we have to stop this intergenerational trauma. And the only way that happens is at rest. Just like the earth, it needs to rest in order for it to replenish itself and to heal itself and to bring back the minerals and nutrients. Mm. If we don't stop to heal, we will continue to pass these things on. It's necessary. It's essential. Yeah. We have to stop.
That's it right there. Like
I hear you. Like, okay. It. One of the things that's, I'll just add on really quickly. I heard a lot of people of color say, as tragic as this pandemic has been, it was the first time that I've ever been able to take a rest. Like, it was incredible that it took something as awful as a pandemic for people to kind of get a moment to breathe, you know, or get a moment to just like let their body rest, you know? I mean, I felt that myself, to be honest with you. And I hated feeling that way for a little bit. I carried a little bit of guilt about that. I was like, wow. But I slept for days, you know? And it wasn't depression. It wasn't any anxiety or nothing like that. I was just like, I'm exhausted. And we're so tired.
We are tired. I mean, we carried a nation. We carried an election. Mm. We are tired.
Amen. Okay.
The difference was the world said it was okay for us to rest.
Mm.
Right. We always wanted to be at rest, but how are we allowed to when our whole bodies are always hyper alert our whole entire day, every day, year in, year out?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Sorry, y'all. I don't know. Like,
we're going to go into that rapid fire and we're going to pick it right on up. Thank y'all so much for being here. I'll just take up a little bit more of your time. Rapid fire. What's on your playlist now? Trainer Tyra.
Ooh, every morning I play my morning affirmations, and my number one song is Moment by Victoria Monet. And it says, F a fantasy, it's your mother effing moment. And that's how
yes! I love me some Victoria Monet. Aaron, what's on your playlist right now?
Migos.
Migos. Okay, awesome. Favorite food spot in Portland, Aaron.
This rapid fire, like,
come on, Aaron.
You can take your time with it. Take your time with it.
Chicken and guns is good.
Chicken and guns.
Yeah,
they got. Okay, I'm gonna have to write that down.
They called the police on a Black person. I ain't eating chicken and guns.
Did
they? Oh no.
Did they?
Yep, they did. Just saying.
Okay, what's your favorite food spot, Tyra?
Aaron, I am totally a killjoy. I keep track of everything. Let's talk about the Migos.
There's a lot of chicken spots in Portland. Like, low key, there's tons of chicken spots in Portland.
Yeah. Good ones, though. Are there good
ones? Yacht House is like one of my jams. Akadi is one of my jams.
Oh, I love Akadi.
Following around Elsie Denville of Creole Me Up. When she does pop-ups is another one of my jams.
Okay. All right. So now we're moving into the rapid fire. And we're going to start with this. Water, still or carbonated? Aaron.
Still.
Tyra.
Carbonated. This gets fancy.
Little Kim or Foxy Brown?
Ooh, Tyra. Foxy Brown.
Aaron.
The Ill Nah Nah.
Aaron said Trina.
Ooh, no, we're gonna talk about Trina too later.
neither one.
I'll just say Kim.
Okay. Yeah. Aaron, the cookout or the let out?
The cookout.
Tyra.
Cookout.
Okay. Nike or Adidas, Tyra?
Neither.
Okay, Aaron.
I got flat feet. For sure. Pencil Academy.
I got flat feet. They ain't helping a sister.
Okay. The ice cream truck or the ice cream parlor, Aaron?
Truck.
Tyra.
Parlor. I got to get sprinkles.
What, but you can't get the Mario Brothers ice cream sherbet joint with the bubble gum in the center. You
are gonna give me bubble guts eating that fruit.
All right. Old school or new school, Tyra?
77, old school.
Okay, Aaron.
New school.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
We don't talk, Aaron.
All right. Android or iOS?
What do we got to say?
I'm going to make you a playlist. Put some Teddy Pendergrass on there.
Please do. I'm a Bill Withers dude. Like, that's my dad, essentially.
Okay. Put some LTD on there, too, Tyra.
Ooh.
Android or iOS, Aaron?
iOS. Come on.
Tyra.
I don't want to say it, but for marketing, I had to buy this expensive thing.
I thought about saying blue bubbles or green bubbles, and I just wasn't sure y'all was gonna know what I was talking about. Okay, Instagram or Facebook, Tyra?
I am Facebook because I'm in my 40s and I can't be keeping up with the Insta face and all that stuff. Going live and stuff. I don't know.
Okay.
I'm trying, y'all.
Which do you look at more?
I treat it like work. Okay. I wake up in the morning and I post on both, but I don't know how it works.
Okay. Aaron?
I would say neither. I'm in the middle of like a serious purge of just like, I'll post like the one thing, but I have a rule. There's no clicking on stories because you get sucked in, and no scrolling. So okay. I can post what I have to post, and it means high value, impactful content. And then I delete it. So I don't have it on my phone. I don't have it on my iPad. I have to log in desktop and type it in everything. It's very difficult for me to get sucked into it.
Okay. Ooh, okay. Wow. I like that. Then maybe I should. Okay. Tumblr or Reddit. Just kidding. Anyway. All right. Last one. Mario or Sonic? Aaron.
Sonic.
Okay, Tyra.
Sonic.
Really?
Yeah, Sonic's lit. He was like,
he had the good hair.
Yeah,
like,
quick
and stuff.
Oh, wow, y'all. This has been magical. I want to thank y'all so much. And I would like to close out with any words that you have to offer, any way you want to tell people to find you, and however you would like to close today. We'll start with you, Aaron.
Okay, you can follow me on Instagram.
From your desktop.
I'll respond via desktop, so I'll be at the computer. But at Aaron Robinson, AaronRobinson. In my bio is a link to my podcast. My podcast is called Opening Presence with Aaron Robinson. Presence is spelled with a C, so Opening Presence, where I talk about creative self-realization, coming into yourself as an artist, as a human, along this path where there's so many different examples of success, and we don't have to look at the top 1% of people. Like, I interview people in the community who are artists, entrepreneurs, chefs, like the whole gamut, and you get to hear about their stories and how they learn how to believe in themselves and some tidbits about the journey. Thanks for having me too. This is dope.
Yo, absolutely. It was truly an honor to have you here. We love you, man. Come back anytime. Please come by the station sometime if you'd like, and let's all like talk more. Tyra, anything you want to close with? Where can people find you? Any words, anything to offer the youths?
I'm trainertyra.com, also Trainer Tyra Instagram, Facebook. Just most important thing is to remember that you are made up of the same things that make the universe. You are enough. You're out of this world.
I love it. Okay. All message. Right. Well, huh?
Message.
Message. Ding, ding. Well, y'all, listen, I love y'all. Thank y'all so much for joining me today. This is a delight. I'll be honest with you. I was walking into this like, oh my God, I haven't interviewed nobody in like 2 years. Let's see how this goes.
You did a great job. This was awesome.
Great job, baby.
Thank you. I love y'all dearly. Let's please talk soon. And thank you all for viewing us on the Juneteenth Black Wellness panel. Please be well, be safe, protect your magic. Be blessed.
Thank you.
Thank you.